You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. It is Monday, March 8th, 2021, and it's a little hashtag Locked On Murph mixed in with a little mock draft here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis, infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. And today's episode of Locked On Patriots is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Greetings and salutations, Patriots Nation, and thank you for kicking off yet another work week here with me on the pod. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed and very much appreciated. So share that feedback, send it to the internet by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And while you're out there kickstarting your work week on the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, I know, Monday is not exactly an easy day. Not really our favorite day out of the week, but here on Locked On Patriots, we try to take some of the sting out of that Monday mayhem by bringing you the wisdom and counsel of the Green King of Sting himself. That's right, it's hashtag Locked On Murph Monday, and that means my main man, Thomas Murphy, is here to join us on the hot seat. And because it's also Musing the Draft Monday, remember, Murph and I don't make fun of the draft, we don't insult it, we muse it. And we will be taking a look into some potential Patriots prospects, including this week's selection by Jordan Reed of thedraftnetwork.com. Jordan has the Patriots going quarterback and a name that we've discussed several times here on the pod. I'm talking Alabama's Mac Jones, but Jones has been skyrocketing up some draft boards lately. Would he even be there at number 15 when the Patriots are ready to pick? And if so, is it a foregone conclusion that the Patriots would select him? Well, I will ask Murph that very question. But fear not, because that is far from the only draft question I'll be asking Murph today. Again, Murph and I love musing the draft, and we'll stay on the offensive side of the ball today and talk about some of the names that are out there as potential Patriots picks at the running back position and the tight end position. That's right, I said the tight end position, so hi, Claire. But we know that tight end is a glaring position of need for the Patriots in 2021. The running backs, at first glance, not so much. But if you take a look at what the Patriots might be losing, it might end up being a position of need. And I can see the Pats using the draft to bring in some new blood at the position. Who do Murph and I have our sharp eyes on when it comes to potential Patriots picks at the running back position? Well, without giving this away, Murph and I actually targeted two different players. And even though my selection is someone I think the Patriots ultimately will not select, I still think he might be worth a look. Murph's selection is definitely eye-opening, but makes perfect sense when you start to consider what the Patriots love in their running backs and what they might need in their running backs. Trust me, folks, you're not going to want to miss Murph's thoughts on this subject. But that's not all we're going to be talking about. Once again, folks, we will be talking tight end prospects. And I know, here on Locked On Patriots, we've talked a lot about Kyle Pitts. We've even given some added airtime to Penn State's Pat Freiermuth. But Murph and I do want you to know that there are some other names out there, and we'll get into a couple of them, including one that has some local ties to the New England area. And last but not least, for those of you that are still clamoring for more information on the quarterback position, this weekend did give way to an interesting report. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal recently said on his podcast that the Patriots' quote-unquote plan A for the 2021 season would be to have old friend Jimmy Garoppolo once again calling signals under center for your New England Patriots. Now, Greg's report was careful to say that this is all dependent on San Francisco doing something at quarterback. And while this one might be fun to speculate, folks, it is smart to consider whether or not this is even possible. And Murph and I have some strong opinions on that subject, which we'll share with you today. Sit tight, folks, settle in, an action-packed agenda talking Jimmy G, Mac Jones, Patriots running back and tight end prospects. All coming up next here on the Locked On Patriots podcast when we continue in just a moment. But first, The football games on the field might be over, Locked On listeners, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and that NFL equivalent of the hot stove, hotter and hotter by the minute. Put your prognostication skills to the test with the only place that has you covered and the only place we trust, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. But BetOnline doesn't just stop at sports. They even cover awards, TV shows, even reality TV. They give you real-time, updated odds on props on almost anything you can imagine. Simply put, BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, all the scores, and all the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and what makes it even better is it's free to sign up. Head over to their website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Go to betonline.ag today, sign up, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Locked On listeners, today on the Locked On Today podcast, Selection Sunday is a little less than a week away, and there will be a number of ACC teams left out of the tournament. What went wrong in the ACC this season? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Patriots fans, we are just over a week away from the start of the new league year, and next week at this time, we'll be talking a lot of legal tampering, but today is Monday, so you know what that means. It's not only a day to muse the draft here on Locked On Patriots, but it's also that time again. That's right, your favorite and mine, my benefactor in this business, the only guest on the pod with his very own branded hashtag, the Count of Murphy Fisto himself, the legendary Thomas Murphy, is back for his weekly appearance here on Locked On Patriots. Thank you for coming to me in friendship and for joining me today, Don Murph.
The Great Wall of China couldn't keep me away. This is my favorite time of year, and I'm here in my favorite chair, and we're getting into it. We're getting into the nitty-gritty and getting ready for everything that's about to happen over the next few weeks, and hopefully people keep coming back.
No truer words, my friend. The football gods, they always give us material. And as long as things happen in the NFL, especially here in Foxborough, we'll be bringing them to you. And Murph, what can I say? It's always an honor for you to join me here on the microphone. I love Mondays for this very reason. And without further ado, bud, let's kick it right off. And folks, as usual, Murph is here to help us muse the draft again today because, again, keep in mind, Murph and I do not mock the draft. We do not insult the draft. We muse it here on Locked On Patriots, and that's what we will do in just a little bit coming up. But the quarterback story just won't go away, will it? But it just won't go away.
No.
We want to be quarterback free.
Leave me alone.
But we just can't do it.
Leave me alone. You can't. Just no, they do this. They know we're going to be here on Mondays, and they're like, well, how can we screw with Mike and Murph?
I'm telling you, it's got to be something because just when we think we're out, they pull us back in. And they pulled us back in and we'll give it its just due. Of course, folks, I'm talking about reports surfacing over the weekend stemming from comments made by Boston Sports Journal's Greg Bedard from his podcast stating that the Patriots' quote-unquote dream scenario at quarterback in 2021 would involve old friend Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm going to use Greg's exact words here. And this is, quote, please, from what I gather, talking to people this week, over the past week, Jimmy Garoppolo is still far and away their plan A, that if they had to draw it up, meaning the Patriots, exactly the optimal situation for the Pats this upcoming season would be Jimmy G coming back here. And, of course, that's all dependent on the 49ers doing something. Murph, to me, that's a big dependent. I'm not sold that the Niners really have a better option other than Jimmy on the table to be their starting quarterback in 2021. Unless San Francisco can swing a deal for Deshaun Watson or for Russell Wilson, Jimmy's probably the best choice for them moving forward. They're not just going to cut this guy loose and, go with an also-ran option. In my opinion, the only way they do it is if they upgrade And I think those are the only two realistic options for them to upgrade. Jimmy knows the system. He's been there for a little while. And I think he's probably their best fit. And I think the 49ers brass would probably agree with that. But again, you never know what can happen in the NFL. Anything and everything can happen. I don't think Jimmy's going anywhere this offseason. But I need a little wisdom. I need a little green wisdom and counsel on the subject. Not just wisdom. I need green wisdom and counsel on this subject, buddy. What was your reaction to this report, and do you think there's a legit shot that we see Jimmy Garoppolo back in Foxborough in 2021?
My reaction to this report was somebody is feeding Greg this knowledge. Greg doesn't, you know, throw anything against the wall and just see what sticks. Yeah. That's not what he does. Absolutely. Somebody is telling him this. He's believing it. I'm believing Greg, even though Greg and I have got into it on a couple of different occasions, on a few different subjects. But no, he's a man of integrity. He's a man who's joined the fiendish plot of Gardner Minshew. Even though, you know, I was taken to task about that last week on a couple of different podcasts that will remain nameless. but no, I agree with you. I don't think Jimmy is coming here because I really don't see anything better out there for the Niners unless they are going to strip everything down. And I can't see them doing that. Jimmy is, he knows their system. He knows what they expect of him. I don't want to say a perfect fit because we know that that is not the case after the past couple of years, but no, I don't see the Patriots prying him away from San Francisco for Jared Stidham and a third round pick. It's just not happening, and they're not going to release him.
Yeah, and I don't believe they're going to release him either, and I don't think it's a like for like saying, oh, well, you know, you can just give them Stid and they'll be able to send back Jimmy. It's not a like for like, folks. I know Jared has his fan base out there, and look, I'm still a fan of the kid. I still think there is a chance for him to be a serviceable quarterback, but I also think that maybe the hindsight that we're looking at Jared Stidham with when he was drafted might be a little over romanticized, and I think the Patriots will tell you that more than anybody. They've seen this kid in practice. They've seen him be able to progress. Yep. And obviously there's a reason why they're looking for a lot of other options out there rather than just saying, we've got our guy. Why would we even need to worry about this? To me, that speaks volumes. I agree with you on Greg's report. No, in no way am I refuting Greg's information.
No.
I just don't think, and he did, he prefaced this in saying it to finish it up. That's all dependent on the 49ers doing something. Just because the Patriots may look at this as being plan A doesn't mean that it's going to come to fruition, folks. And I don't think this has a legitimate shot to come to fruition for the reasons you just said. San Francisco's not going to tear it down out there. They've got a tremendous running game. They've got a budding offensive line that is starting to show promise. I think they add a little bit in the draft. Maybe a free agent or two to shore up that offensive line, give Jimmy or whoever is, you know, under center in San Francisco a little extra protection. They've got the best tight end in the league, unless you count Rob Gronkowski. That's right, folks. I said what I said. The best tight end in the league, George Kittle, other than Rob Gronkowski. Chiefs fans are not going to like that, but I'm going to put that out there.
And they're not going to do this. They're not going to do this for Sam Darnold. Okay, so people can stop thinking about that either. Sam Darnold is a reclamation project, and that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you on that. And plus, that 49ers defense is stout. They were very much the victim of a lot of injury last year. That team was a lot better than its record indicated. It will be a lot better this year with guys getting healthy. And I think with Jimmy getting healthy, I think that's probably their best option. So, Murph, that being said, if it's not going to be Jimmy, then the Patriots still have a choice to make here. And that's likely to be a veteran paired with a draft pick. We've talked about Minshew last week. A lot of people are starting to come on board. Some are really starting to come off the rails on that. I, for one, you've made a believer out of me. Tangway's made a believer out of me. You know, Greg's starting to come around. I don't think that's as negative of an option as a lot of people are saying. I've really come around on Gardner. I'm not so much soured on that. But we've talked about Gardner Minshew, and you know, regardless of the veteran, whether it is Cam or whether it's another option that they bring in, like a Mariota or even an Alex Smith, you're hearing rumors. I still think that the team will dip into the draft to try to get some sort of quarterback body in here. They didn't do it last year. They did go the undrafted rookie free agent, you know, and I don't think that they're really doing themselves any type of due diligence if they at least don't kick the tires on someone. Well, our good friends over at the Draft Network, Bud, they put together a mock draft every week, and they do mock the draft, but they don't insult the draft. They approach the draft with friendship and respect. You know, they kiss the ring of the draft when they come in. They show the reverence. So we like our friends at thedraftnetwork.com for mocking the draft. And but once again, Jordan Reed, someone who I have a lot of respect for professionally, prognosticated that Mac Jones of Alabama would be the likely choice at quarterback for the Pats at number 15. In fact, he projected that they would select him at number 15. Murph, we've covered this before. Jones is reportedly inching his way up the draft boards, and the difference now is that it isn't as likely as it was the last time we talked that Mac would be there at 15. My question to you, Bud, is even after some of the reports have come out, even after we've delved into this subject a little bit, if he's there at 15, do the Patriots make this pick, or is, sorry for the pun here, folks, but I couldn't resist, is Mac not going to be the knife in Foxborough here in 2021?
I don't think Mac is going to be the knife here in Foxborough in 2021, but I do believe that if he is there at 15, they will take him. Now, that just means that they're gonna pull this knife and they're gonna stick it in a drawer somewhere, and they're gonna give him some time to acclimate and adjust, and you know, not the Bill isn't gonna throw him to the Lions. That's not what he does. But I still think that there is a better chance that they go and grab somebody in the later rounds and see what happens and go the free agent route. And, you know, I can't stop backing up to it. I really like Minshew in this offense. I really like what he could bring to it. And, but no, they will draft a guy, whether it be Kyle Trask, whether it be Kellen Mond, out of Texas A&M late. It's going to happen. It has to happen. But no, I don't think he's going to be the man here next year. Mac Jones is not going to be the man here next year. That doesn't mean that they don't take him if he slides to 15. But I really think Bill is going to use this draft to rebuild his defense. I really do.
And I would agree with you on that. And we talked about defense a lot here last week when it came to musing the draft. We're going to take a look at the offensive side of the ball and what the Patriots might do in a moment. But I think Jordan makes some interesting points about Mac Jones coming in. Look, there's no question about it. He's one of the better anticipatory throwers in this draft. And anticipatory thrower basically means, folks, he can sense where the ball needs to be. He can sense where the receiver needs to be. And he'll put it in that that area, and he'll be able to put it there.
He throws guys open.
Exactly. And it reminds you, and that's why I think some people are looking at this and saying, oh, well, it reminds me of what Tom Brady used to do. It's very similar to what they used to do with Brady, and thinking that Matt can come in here and be able to do that. That's a dangerous and very slippery slope, folks. Tom Brady was one of the most accurate passers. Exactly. Absolutely. Thank you.
Tom didn't do that when he came into the league. Tom didn't do that when he was at Michigan. Tom was a very good quarterback when they selected him. To this day, I have no idea why he went when he did. The Patriots, if they thought it, they could have drafted him much earlier, but they didn't. Tom didn't do that. You have to grow into that, especially when, you know, the amplifier gets turned up to 11. And that's what happens in this league. And that's why I don't like some of the other quarterbacks that everybody's falling all over themselves. Honestly, there is one quarterback in this draft that I would take in the first round. One.
And I think we all know who that is. And I think we all do. I think we all do know who that is. And unfortunately, he's not going to be there and available for the Patriots.
No.
You know, I think
Mr. Lawrence will be long gone.
Exactly. That's it. I think he'll be long gone and on his way to Jacksonville by the time the Patriots even get to sniff this draft.
Hope he enjoys. I hear they got a good TGI Fridays.
I think so. I think they might. I'm not familiar with the Jacksonville area. I got to get in touch with my buddy Tony Wiggins, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Locked On Podcast Network. Great friend. Great, great show over there, folks. If you're interested in Trevor Lawrence and what he may do for the Jags, definitely check that show out. But this is Locked On Patriots, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And look, for all of the argument that Jordan made that Mac might be a good fit in New England, he made a very, very good point. And this is what I keep coming back to with Mac Jones and why I'm not completely sold on him as the passer or the signal caller that this team needs. In order for Mac to be an effective pro, he needs the three P's that are surrounding him. And again, folks, this is Jordan. I'd love to be able to take credit for this alliteration, but I can't. This is it's all Jordan Reed. Playmakers, play calling, protection. Protection he'll get. The Patriots are definitely adept at being able to protect the passer. They value the offensive line, even if they lose Joe Tooney, which it still pains me to say that. I really am going to hate seeing Joe Tooney in another uniform. I hold out hope beyond all hope they can pull this out, but it doesn't look likely, folks. It just doesn't. But keep the faith. Keep the faith that he ends up being around. But even if he's not, the Patriots will give Mac Jones protection. Play calling, I still think Josh McDaniels is above the curve when it comes to play calling. I don't think he deserves a lot of the vitriol he gets. They're questionable play calls. Are there times where it scratches, you know, the surface and I scratch my head looking at him? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are times where I don't agree with the game that he's calling, but ultimately, folks, believe me, you're much better off having Josh McDaniels there than a lot of the other coordinators in the league that really leave a little something to be desired. Playmakers is where this hurts a little bit, because I think the Patriots are still going to be a cut below where they need to be this season. I know they've got a lot of cap space. I know they've got draft capital. I know the fan base wants to see them make that big splash, but I still think it's going to be difficult to surround Mac Jones with the type of playmakers he's going to need to succeed right off the bat, which is why I think a veteran option is better off, even if you have lesser known play callers, someone that can make his supporting cast look a little bit better. So I think we're in agreement. I think Mac will not be the knife. It looks like old Mackey's not back in town. I'll stop Bobby Darin from rolling in his grave right now. Poor man. I'm making a mockery out of his signature song. But you know what, folks? We're not going to continue to make a mockery out of the draft any longer. We're going to muse that draft because, but the green wisdom and counsel that you lend is the only way to kick off the week here on Locked On Patriots. And we've had some fun discussions, but it's time to get serious. And in just a moment, Murph and I will muse the 2021 NFL draft, delving into the prospects that are catching our sharp eye at running back and even at tight end. Hi, Claire. More musing the draft when this Locked On Murph Monday episode of Locked On Patriots continues.
Folks, my esteemed colleagues here at the Locked On Podcast Network and I have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. And with very good reason, because Built Bar is the amazing, low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. Well, now, it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. And the folks at Built Bar have put together an amazing bracket that will allow you, the fans, to vote on your favorite flavor. And to kick off Built Bar Madness here today on Monday, March 8th, are two matchups that do not disappoint. Apple Almond Crisp versus the new Churro Puff, and Peanut Butter Brownie versus Raspberry. You know from my raving about the Built Bar products that Peanut Butter Brownie is a sentimental favorite of mine, but the Raspberry is clearly a more than worthy opponent. And in the other matchup, the Apple Almond Crisp tastes just like homemade apple crisp. And of course, the Churro Puff, luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow. If you like the recently released Puff Bars, you are going to love this flavor. Don't miss this opportunity to vote on these matchups today. Go to BuiltBar.com or on Twitter, go to @bar_built. And follow the online instructions to vote. And as always, remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And of course, check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. BuiltBar.com. Locked On listeners, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson could be on the move this offseason, so make sure to tune in to Locked On Seahawks and Locked On Texans to hear what our local experts are willing to trade for their star quarterbacks. Listen to Locked On Seahawks and Locked On Texans on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Patriots fans, the legendary Thomas Murphy is back for his weekly appearance here on the pod. It's a hashtag Locked On Murph Monday. And Murph, because once again, we do not insult the draft, we muse the draft. This week, I thought it would be fun to delve into a position that most of us consider to be one of strength for the Patriots, and that's the running back position. The Pats definitely have a feature in Damian Harris. He looks like the future at the position for the Pats, coming off an impressive season in 2020. Seems to do everything well. He can run with power. He can run with finesse. Pretty good at catching the ball out of the backfield. I like Harris, and I think he'll continue to improve. Sony Michel has his share of detractors. Some love him. Some want to see him jettison. But he showed flashes of effectiveness at times last season. And barring anything unforeseen, Sony is going to be the number two guy in this running back core this year, at least in my estimation. But beyond that, Murph, the Patriots might not be as deep as we thought. Rex Burkhead, James White,
yeah,
both free agents, and either one of them or both is likely to be gone in 2021. But I know you did some Murph musing over the weekend on this subject, and I, for one, cannot wait to hear this. If the Patriots do look to the draft for reinforcements at running back, how soon might they seek that piece, and who's catching your sharp eye heading into this draft?
I'm really not sure that they're going to go running back until maybe the third round. This is a position that, you know, for whatever reason, that the league has left behind, and there are going to be a lot of guys out there, especially in the coming weeks, that are going to be casualties, and I think that they will fill up the room that way. I think there's a really good chance that Rex Burkhead comes back here on a one-year deal, I don't want to say prove it, but, you know, stay healthy type deal, see if he can do that. And then when we switch over to, you know, to the guys that are in the draft, after they've done that, who's the guy that's missing? What's missing? I mean, Travis Etienne out of Clemson, he is definitely going to be the first back off the board this year. Najee Harris in Alabama, we all know the connection that Bill has to the Roll Tide crew, and then you move on down. You're still not filling up a role that is probably going to that is probably going to be needed, a hole that needs to be filled. Javonta Williams out of North Carolina, he's somebody, and then his partner down there, oh God, why is his name just slipping
Michael
slipping
Carter
by me right now? Michael Carter,
Carter,
thank you. He's somebody else that could fill the role, but I'm thinking about somebody even later, somebody that not a lot of people are talking about yet, and people will be over the next few weeks, and that's Dremetric Felton out of UCLA, who plays a running back, wide receiver type hybrid that this team is going to need. You want weapons, this kid is a weapon, and I love him. And I think maybe late in round three, early in round four, the Patriots could snatch him up, and we're going to add a weapon that Bill is going to be able to use for, you know, quite a few years.
Interesting. And interesting that you go there. And I think that a lot of people will look at that and go, really? But at the same time, you make,
yeah,
a lot of good points. I mean, this is someone that can receive the ball out of the backfield. This is someone that has the ability to understand the playbook that's so important in New England, and someone that's not going to come in and mind that redshirt freshman season that a lot of these running backs have to go through, especially if you're going to lose a guy. And I hate to say this, and, you know, again, another player player I would love to see around here for a good long while is James White. But unfortunately, I think James may be looking to go closer to home. Yeah, exactly. And I think he will get priced out. And I think in a lot of ways, the Patriots now are going to have to look to try to fill that position. So Feldon out of UCLA is definitely an interesting choice. I actually had a different thought on this as well. And I wanted to get your opinion on this, because this is somebody that I've been looking at for the last couple of weeks as a mid-round type option, someone who is very good at being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. I love this type of easy hands approach that he brings, and that's Jarrett Patterson out of Buffalo. Patterson to me is someone that that has a very low to the ground ability, and in that respect, I think that makes him someone that can create that type of hidden yardage that the Patriots seem to love in a running back. We saw LeGarrette Blount do it here. We've seen to a lot of extent, you know, we saw James White do it at times. We've even seen Damian Harris be able to create that. He's got great balance because of the fact that he's built a little lower to the ground, a little heavier in the lower part of his body. And I think that really enables him to be able to hit the holes hard and be allows him to, you know, essentially be a very difficult guy to move. He's very effective in between the tackle. I like the way he runs in tight spaces, and I think he's got the ability to maneuver his way through multiple levels in order to get through holes. This is not someone that the minute he finds any type of resistance that he's going to fold and he's going to crumble. He's going to keep powering through two, sometimes even three levels. I've seen him do at Buffalo. Yep. This is a risky pick, because you can look at it and say, well, he hasn't gone up against a lot of the big boys yet, but you know, they made the same response about Kyle Duggar on the defensive side of the ball last year, playing in Division II. Buffalo's still a formidable ability to be able to press through. So in a lot of ways, this is a kid that caught my sharp eye as well. But I love your suggestion about Felton out of UCLA, because those are the types of backs that if the Patriots dip into this in the draft, I can see them going in that direction.
Yeah, and I agree with you. He's a very consistent man. As you said, he gets to the second level. He gets to the third level. He has that next gear. It's his size it just makes me wonder. And I understand that you're talking about this in the middle round. So I'm thinking, you know, fourth, fifth round pick, maybe a sixth round pick. Maybe other people are scared off of him because of his size. But no, he has put up the numbers at Buffalo. Like I said, it's just not the same level of competition there that some of the other guys in this draft that are going to be able to come in here and do something. I hear a lot of people talk about Chuba Hubbard. I'm not in love with him at all. Trey Sherman, he's one of the bigger guys out of Ohio State. I think they could take a shot at him. I get infatuated. I really do. And I know that Felton isn't huge either, but he's somebody that can play in multiple different positions. And I think that's something that Josh really enjoys the type of player that Josh would really enjoy working with, and I could see him fitting in here really well.
Yeah, and I think you make a great case. And again, that's a name, folks, that not a lot of people are talking about. Not a lot of names that you're seeing pop up on these draft boards when it comes to premier running backs in this upcoming 2021 NFL draft. Murph is able to bring it, and he's able to bring it like no one else. So thank you for turning me on to that possibility. Again, someone that I've kept a casual eye on, not a sharp eye on. My sharp eye is definitely going to be on him, and we'll continue to talk about him as a prospect for the Patriots in coming days and weeks. But
joystick type player.
Absolutely.
He's a joystick type player. I really like him. Nice little jitterbug, nice little, you know, whatever you want to call it. I love the tape. I do, and I have a problem, people. I do. I have a problem. I will focus in on somebody, and that's who I want, and that's what I'm doing. And over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a series of articles on the perfect Patriots that are coming out in this draft, and there are quite a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think this is, something that could end up being an interesting option for the New England Patriots. And again, there's definite prowess there, and he has done some great things in a UCLA uniform. Demetric Felton is someone that I'll be keeping my sharp eye on. And I agree with you on Patterson. I think that in a lot of ways, that will be a deterrent. His size will be a deterrent. At 5'9", he's not going to instill that type of confidence that a lot of people need.
And Felton is the same size, but he's a different player.
Well, Felton is listed at 5'10", rather than just 5'9". So even that one believe it or not, even inch of, yeah, it's true. I mean, but even that 1 inch of can sometimes be a determining factor in how people see it. They automatically, they just see 5'10". They look at him as being closer to 6 feet than 5'9". But Patterson could be someone.
The other thing we miss about the combine this year, we're not getting real numbers on anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, no real numbers and no shrimp cocktail. I'll tell you, it's 2022 better be a better year. We all need to be in Indianapolis scouting these guys and sitting around a table at St. Elmo's at the end of the night talking about who wowed you and who underwhelmed. To me, those are the great moments. But, folks, we're trying to bring you the best coverage we possibly can, and that leads me quite nicely into my last question for you today, my friend, and that is that the running back position might be an area that the Patriots are going to have to target in the offseason, but we know that they're going to need to target the tight end position. Again, hi, Claire. We have spoken about a couple of options here on these airwaves. Florida's Kyle Pitts. He's the tight end crown jewel of this draft. No one's denying that. Your esteemed cohort in crime and I, Steve Balestrieri, we've talked about Penn State's Pat Freiermuth as being an option as well. Two solid options, I think. I'd be pleased with either one. But, Murph, I just don't think Pitts is going to be there at 15 when the Patriots are picking.
Yeah.
He's really flying up the draft boards a lot. I think early on some projections had him going middle part of the first round. I think he might be close to top 10, maybe that top 12, 13 area. I think the Pats will be really fortunate if he drops to their lap at 15. So I don't think it's that realistic. Freiermuth, I think, is a little bit too early to look at him at 15. So in your infinite green wisdom and counsel, buddy, who's catching your sharp eye at tight end, and who do you covet most in this draft?
In this draft, it's definitely Pitts.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not going to be there. They're going to end up having to trade up. But I really like the Notre Dame guy, too. I'm watching more and more film on Tommy Tremble. He's just fantastic. I don't think he's definitely not somebody that I would spend a first or a second round pick on. But in the middle of the third round, yeah, I'd go up and grab him. And I'm not worried about so many people talking about let's bring in another veteran. I want guys that are young, that are hungry, that are cheap. And the Patriots can grow with, and I think he's the man that could do it. Hunter Long, the local kid out of Boston College too, he's somebody that is quite interesting, and I wouldn't mind seeing stay around here in New England.
Yeah, I think the Long is definitely an interesting option. He's probably the sentimental pick if you're not going to go with Kyle Pitts at the top of the draft. Obviously, Freiermuth. Brevin Jordan is starting to make his way up some draft boards as well out of Miami. He's a pretty dynamic option. But for the Patriots system, especially with the fact that you have Asiasi and Keene already on this roster, if they're going to dip into the tight end area of the draft, I think Tremble makes a lot of sense. I think he projects as that F-type tight end in the NFL, that flex weapon that really is best served in an offense that doesn't charge him with having to be the guy with his hand in the dirt. He's a good athlete. I think he offers some speed, some agility. He can be a pretty good pass catcher in this league. He's going to develop into that upper level tight end if he does the things that he did at Notre Dame and continues to build on that. I hear a lot of comparisons with him to Cole Kmet from last year, obviously, someone that I think he has the chance to emulate. There's a lot of potential in him. I think he could be a good role player originally, and I think he could end up being that type of developmental player that could pay dividends in an offense, especially like the one that they'll do in New England this year. So an F alignment for Tommy Tremble, and I think he's got an ability to be able to play that. Hunter Long obviously is someone that everyone in this region is trying to keep an eye on, simply right. because of, you know, the local ties that he has, you know, to Boston College. He really, I think that 12 personnel is going to be the best type of scheme for him. He can align in a lot of, alignments. He's got the size. He's got the enthusiasm to be an effective blocker. That's love. They love their tight ends to be able to get, a little dirty. And if they choose not to go with someone like Tommy, like we had just said, I think, Hunter could be a pretty good option. He will be targeted. He was targeted pretty often at Boston College. It's going to be whether or not he can prove to be that type of pass catcher that they're going to need at the position as well. But again, I think he really would be a tight end too, ideally, maybe a second fiddle to someone like an Asiasi in a 12 personnel heavy offense. And I think he's got that.
Don't write that these chance. Kids off from last year. Don't write them off, people. You know,
Everybody
gets their red shirt season here. And just because of the situation last year didn't mean that they needed to be thrust in there. There were some other issues with Asiasi. It is what it is. And what I saw from him in college, it can still translate to this game, to the pro level with, a little bit more work and a little more time and some camp, in camp and a real off season that these guys did not get last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And the one thing that I like about somebody like Long, and this is something that I think that both Keene and Asiasi will improve upon much greater this year, is route running. Long is a pretty good route right. runner. He's got good hands, got pretty good ball skills. So if you pair him alongside of a guy like Devin Asiasi, all of a sudden that's a pretty good young core. Then you've got maybe Dalton Keene playing the H-back role in the tight end position, maybe eventually being groomed to be the fullback of the future. Who knows what their plan is with Keene? I know that was a common narrative last year. I pushed that a lot here on Locked On Patriots. Still haven't quite given up on that, but they've got some prowess at that position as well. But ultimately, it's going to be what the Patriots need to do. I really think they go more of a veteran route to fill the hole at tight end this year. I think they need more of a veteran presence. I think they have a couple of young guys that they still have some faith in, but who knows? Maybe it's Hunter Long that they go and they take a flyer on. They do look at Tommy from Notre Dame and say that he's going to be the guy. Let's bring in a Tommy Tremble. And I think obviously if Kyle Pitts is there at 15 and the Patriots are picking, I don't see how you leave him on the board. It's a generational talent, but might be pie in the sky for Patriots right. fans this year. Murph, what can I say?
He's another guy that can play all over the field.
Absolutely.
If he
really is.
Ugh.
Could be a scary looking offense with him coming into his own, depending on who's throwing him the football, that could be a fun, marriage for years to
right.
come up here in Foxborough to see Kyle Pitts being able to be that prolific tight end for years and years to come. But again, I don't know of the realism, but We live in hope, buddy. And, we live in hope because of your wisdom and counsel that you lend here on the pod. What can I say, bud? Thank you so much for coming on and joining me today. Folks, you should already be following this man, but for the benefit of any of our new listeners, please follow my good friend, the Count of Murphy Fisto himself, on Twitter, at TMurph207. Do not miss Murph's Monster Keys. Every now and then during the off season, he will drop some wisdom and counsel into those keys, and they're always point, click, learn, enrich, and just phenomenal material. I can't say enough about them. Proudly found on diehardbostonsportsfans.com. And of course, if you want to hear more of the golden melodious tones of this man's voice, never miss an episode of One Patriot's Place with Murph, our great mutual friend, Steve Balestrieri, and of course, how can we forget the Countess of Klaz herself, Claire Cooper. But again, thank you so much. Honored and humbled, as always, by your presence.
No, thank you for having me here. And yes, please tune in tomorrow, people, to One Patriot's Place. We've got a fantastic guest, our good mutual friend Mark Schofield's going to drop by, and we're gonna you know, really get into the quarterback class and what he thinks of these top picks, these guys that are going in the first round. And Mark and I will get into it on a couple of people that we disagree on wholeheartedly.
Excellent. Variety is always the spice of life. And bottom line, folks, if it's Murph, if it's Steve, if it's Claire, and it's Mark Schofield, it's going to be an amazing listen. We all know the regard and the reverence with which I hold Mark, and that is definitely validated. So I'll be looking forward to that. Folks, please check that out. But what can I say? Again, thank you so much for coming on today. Stay safe, stay well. We look forward to musing the draft again here with you next week and maybe talking a little legal tampering, because the league year will be about to begin. Ooh. And we know next week is going to be a hot week here on Locked On Patriots. Don't miss a second of the action. But in the meantime, don't miss Locked On Murph Monday when this man returns next week. Take care, buddy, and we'll be talking to you soon.
You too, my friend.
And so, Locked On listeners, one down and four to go in your work week, but we've got plenty of New England Patriots coverage still to come. So, to ensure that you do not miss a single second of the action, download and subscribe to the Locked On Patriots podcast on platforms such as Radio.com, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure that you're staying locked in to Locked On Patriots. And of course, don't forget to visit our good friends at BuiltBar.com or visit them on Twitter at @bar_built and cast your vote for today's exciting matchups in the Built Bar Madness bracket. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank my good friend Thomas Murphy for his time, his insight, and his appearance on today's pod. But most of all, I thank you all so much for listening and for continuing to make Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until tomorrow, Foxborough faithful, stay safe, stay well, always and continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.